And tonight on the Roadhouse, we're joined by Mark McNay, and Mark has spoken to us a few years ago, and he's back on board. He is a retired wolf biology researcher for the Alaska Game and Fish, and wrote a definitive study in 2002 following a... it was a two-year study that followed an incident in Icy Bay, northern Saskatchewan, I believe, that where a six-year-old boy was, a wolf was attempting to drag the boy away, and the wolf was subsequently shot and the boy rescued, but that prompted a two-year study about incidences from 1900 up to that point of wolf-human confrontations. Mark, I spoke to you back then about that study. Maybe we could talk, welcome to the Roadhouse, first of all.
Oh, thank you, Buck.
Nice to have you here. Now, since you did retire, you moved back to your home state of Kansas.
Yes.
And life's got to be a little different than Fairbanks, Alaska.
It's quite a bit different. Sun comes up every day in the winter in Kansas.
Yeah. And it might be just a scad warmer.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I sure appreciate you coming aboard to talk to us about something that you've been very active with for a number of years, and that's wolf behavior, wolf study. How did you happen to narrow your research down to wolves when you were with the department in Alaska?
Well, there's a number of issues regarding wolves, of course, in Alaska, and at the time I was the fur bear biologist in Fairbanks. A lot of the focus and a lot of the controversy surrounding wolves, including proposed wolf control programs, were in the Fairbanks area. So as the fur bear biologist, I was kind of the natural contact for that. And then this whole wolf-human interaction thing really developed after the attack in Icy Bay, Alaska, that occurred when the six-year-old boy was attacked by a wolf.
And from that time, that led you to a two-year study, as I mentioned earlier, where you studied 80 incidences that you could corroborate. And basically, you broke those down into wolf responses and the reasons that you could determine these confrontations happened.
Right. There were several different patterns of behavior that became apparent when you looked at the details of each one of the incidents. Some were non-aggressive, some were aggressive. Those were two main categories. And among those, there were instances of predation, agonism, and agonism is a behavior that's kind of a conflict between aggression and fear. It's a behavior that's often associated with wolf-wolf interactions or mating patterns or competing with other wolves, but we see it in wolf-human interactions too. There's incidents of self-defense. I also discussed a few incidents of rabid wolves.
I believe you had like 39 incidences of the 80 of wolf aggression, and now could that wolf aggression is broken down into agonism or a wolf being habituated to humans. Maybe you could elaborate a little bit on how that broke down.
Okay, well, one of the key factors in that seems to be a consistent theme in cases where wolves act aggressively towards people is that the wolf has become habituated. And what we mean by habituated is that they have lost their fear response. Wolves can also become food conditioned, in which they learn to associate people with food. In those cases, they can approach people expecting a food handout. But in the cases of habituation, wolves just lose their fear of people. If they're around people a lot and there's no negative consequence, they can start to treat people like any other part of their habitat, and they don't have a natural avoidance. And when that occurs, it allows wolves and people to come in close contact, and then suddenly, based on a perception of the wolf or a movement or behavior of the person, the interaction can quickly become aggressive. If the wolf misinterprets a person's behavior as being either aggressive or maybe a person ran from a wolf and it elicits some kind of a predation response. Habituation is a key that's often seen in these cases, and it involves the loss of fear on the part of the wolf by what we say non-consequential frequent encounters.
I was a little surprised to read in that study and of wolves actually approaching humans and just grabbing them by the arm, or they weren't actually attacking the human, but as you mentioned, they'd been habituated to think of humans as a provider of food.
Right, and there's several cases where in campgrounds or industrial areas on the North Slope of Alaska during the development of the pipeline, workers would throw out sandwiches out of truck windows or even hand feed wolves. They became used to that, the wolves, and so when they saw a person, they would approach and expect a handout. Well, on any given day, that person may or may not be familiar with the routine, and so if the wolf approached someone who didn't have a handout, the wolf could act aggressively trying to elicit that handout, and sometimes it resulted in bites.
Mm-hmm. Since you wrote that definitive study in 2002, it seems that much has happened out there. I know that you've been involved in several instances, mostly in Alaska, but maybe you could talk a little bit about some of those. I know in the study you did of the original 80 cases you looked at, there were no fatalities that you could find that the wolf created, but that's changed now.
Right. In the original cases, going back to 1900, there weren't any clear, wasn't any clear evidence that wolves killed a person in North America. However, there were cases that were documented by Stanley Young in the 1940s that were, at the time, they were considered to be hearsay, but and they went back into the 19th and 18th century in North America where wolves had purportedly killed people. But since 1900 and since we've had better documentation, we've not found any of those. The first real case occurred in November of 2005 when a young geology student was killed by wolves in northern Saskatchewan. Unfortunately, not long after, in March of 2010, a young woman was killed in western Alaska by wolves. So those are the only two recently documented cases, but they've come with very little intervening time.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the young woman was just out jogging, and
that's right. She was out in the evening. She was quite an athlete, jogging down a road, and was attacked and killed by wolves.
The other incident, the young man who was killed, I believe, on a frozen lake near his research center. I believe you got called into that case because it was originally reported as maybe caused by black bear. Am I right about that?
That's right. There was a investigation done by some Canadian researchers initially, and their conclusion was that the boy was killed by a large animal and possibly a black bear. Most of the people at the camp and the people that investigated the incident, including the game wardens and the other officials from Canada, from Saskatchewan, that were called in to investigate, had found no evidence of a black bear. There was recent snow in the ground, and there were wolf tracks surrounding the body and covering the area, and wolves had commonly been seen near the camp, but it was in November. Most bears, of course, would be in their den, and there were no tracks of black bears. So the family felt that this conclusion of a black bear was incorrect, and they contacted me, and I looked at the evidence and consulted with several of the people who had investigated the incident and looked at the photographs and concluded that any evidence that suggested black bear was, in fact, consistent with wolf predation.
You mentioned earlier in our discussion here how habituation to humans can result in a loss of wolves' fear of man, and I'd like to expand that just a little bit to see what you think. The idea is, of course, that wolves are afraid of man, and that's why we're not part of their food chain normally. Here in Minnesota, it's been some time since wolves have been hunted. What is this, an innate fear? Is this a genetic thing? Where does the fear come from in your mind? I know this is just a subjective question, but that they retain a fear of man.
Well, that's a good question, and that's a question that a lot of people have. What is the innate or the built-in behavior that we expect out of these wild animals? And I believe that wolves inherently are curious, and they inherently, as a part of their ability to live and as a part of their life history, evaluate vulnerability and base their behaviors and activities upon those types of evaluations. And they're constantly undergoing this process of evaluating their environment and the vulnerability of potential prey and trying to evaluate what is or isn't potential prey. And I think what's happened is that historically, when wolves were aggressively pursued and shot and trapped and poisoned, they became naturally frightened and avoided people. Since wolves have increased in the last 30 years throughout southern Canada and into Minnesota and Wisconsin and Montana and the Idaho and the northern states, they've been protected, and there has been no mechanism or no characteristic of humans that makes wolves fear them. And so I think they don't perceive humans today in 2011 as a wolf would for, say, for example, in 1910 or 1940 when just the sight of a wolf caused people to get out the guns and pursue them and chase them and kill them. So things have changed, and I think that change in human behavior coupled with the increase in the numbers of wolves, coupled with the expanding reach of people into wolf habitat, has created a situation where wolves are not inherently afraid of people. They tend to, you know, any animal is cautious of something that it doesn't know or doesn't understand. But once wild animals are exposed to something for a time period and there's no negative conditioning and there's no reason to believe that this other part of their environment is going to harm them, then they start to lose any fear response or avoidance response which they may have inherently had toward that object, and in this case, toward people.
We're speaking with Mark McNay, and Mark is a relatively recently retired wolf researcher for the Alaska Game and Fish, and he's also a pretty much internationally renowned for the studies that he's taken part in on wolf behavior. Mark, it sounds like we're going to probably be looking at more incidences as we move forward, as people move. As you mentioned, people move closer to wolves, and wolves move closer to people.
I expect that's going to be the case. I don't recall, but I think now in Minnesota there's probably 3,000 plus or minus wolves. They continue to expand their range into areas that are more heavily populated by people and people's pets and livestock. That's going to result in more encounters. Occasionally, those are going to be aggressive encounters between wolves and people.
You know, we talked a lot about wolves' fears of man, but there's also seems to be kind of a gut reaction that a lot of people have that evokes fear and even hatred of wolves. And on the other end of the spectrum, there's other folks that kind of think of wolves as an idyllic creature out in a meadow somewhere. So in reality, I think the proper approach is somewhere else, somewhere in between.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think this, you know, fear of wolves by people or hate of wolves is kind of a residual from the European experience, some of which was probably mythological to an extent, but there were real reasons for concern in Northern Europe in past centuries when people were not technologically able to defend themselves against wild animals, and then wolves preyed upon people. That doesn't seem to have been the pattern in North America, although there is evidence that wolves occasionally preyed on the Native Americans before Europeans settled North America. So that fear or hatred of wolves, I think, is probably based in the reality of what occurred between people and wolves in the past. More recently, this more naturalistic approach has developed. And in some cases, it's a little bit too idealistic. Wolves remain the same, a wild carnivore, and we have to treat them like they are, like a wild carnivore.
Mm-hmm. What should a person do if they happen to find themselves in a position where they feel threatened? As far as their behavior towards the wolf.
Well, the let's take an example. Let's say a person's walking on a trail and a wolf steps out in front of them. First, don't approach the wolf further, regardless of your interpretation of the wolf's intent. There have been cases where people felt like wolves wanted to play or wanted to be close to them, and if you had the notion that wolves were not a threat to people and were inherently benign, then you may try to approach or pet or even, you know, interact with a wolf. Well, that's, you should not do that. You should also not turn and run. Running away from a wolf can elicit a predation response. Just like if you encountered a dog on the street and the dog appeared aggressive, you would know better than to turn and run, because you know if you ran, the dog would likely chase and bite. Well, that's likely what a wolf would do. I think the best response is back up, face the wolf. If necessary, use a stick or a pole, rocks, anything handy to keep the wolf at bay if the wolf acts aggressively. If the wolf's just going to stand on the trail and allow you to back up and move off in a different direction, then that's fine. Just do that. But if the wolf acts aggressively, I think it's important for people to defend themselves. You know, oftentimes you may hear that if a bear acts aggressively or knocks you down, that you play dead. Well, that's not the appropriate response in a wolf encounter. You need to the degree possible, try to protect yourself and try to act aggressively towards the wolf.
Would something like pepper spray, is that something that people might feel a little safer if they are nervous about an encounter?
I think pepper spray would probably be an adequate response in most cases. So that would probably be a good choice.
Now, it's in the news lately, we've been hearing about wolf delisting from one category of being totally protected to other ways of wolf management. We don't know where that's going to go. But are there management approaches that you think could be taken to deal with them better than what's happening right now?
Well, the management of all wildlife is really based upon public opinions and public values. And in some areas, for example, in Canada and Alaska, wolves are commonly hunted or trapped for their fur, and those activities are consistent with the public values in those areas. In other places, animals are protected and not hunted, and those reflect the public values in those areas. So management of wolves in Minnesota will have to be sorted out based upon those competing public values, but I think it's important to note that the hunting or trapping or use of wolves is not necessarily going to result in another decline or extirpation of wolves.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mark. Excuse me.
My phone is beeping. I'm afraid this telephone may be running out of battery.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll have to move ahead. Mark, I want to thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking with Mark McNay, and Mark is a retired wolf researcher from Alaska. He's moved back to his home state of Kansas. Mark, once again, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and I hope we get a chance to talk to you again that you're willing, being retired now, to talk to us again about this topic as we move forward. I appreciate it very much.